Cool. Thank you so much. So over the last couple of years, I've been leaning more and more into a lot of, like, I don't want to say more advanced, but like beyond tables in Postgres. So like views and functions and triggers and stuff. And I hit a wall when I was trying to figure out the best way to migrate my schema. And so I started to go digging into how I wanted to do that, and I ended up rolling my own. This talk is not about the tool that migrates my schema, but it's about how I was able to solve a really critical question as part of that, which is how do I build a tool that truly understands the Postgres schema? Not just like running the SQL files, not running migrations against it, not storing it, but like actually understanding it. What objects exist, how do they relate, and what depends on what? So I knew I had two options. I could write an SQL parser. I could parse those, create table, create function, create view, all of that, handle all the edge cases and keep up to date with every Postgres release. Or option B, I could just ask Postgres. It already parses SQL. That's kind of its whole job. And so what if I let it do all the work and ask it what it knows? And also, I really, really didn't want to write a SQL parser because, like, would I have wanted to parse this? I mean, there's, look at that. We've got, like, a returns table with, like, four different arguments. There's an array with a default up there. There's a bunch of JSONB stuff down below. And even if you thought you could, like, skip over the whole thing, notice that there's, like, an end for the begin atomic, and then there's also an end for the case statement. I knew I would just be messing the whole thing up the whole time, so I didn't want to go down that path. And if you look at, like, what Postgres knows about a function like that, you know, it's got the name, it's got the argument types, it's got all these names, it's got the whole tree, whether it was stable, and that's kind of all the information that I want to have. So how do I go about actually setting that up? So it was pretty simple, and I kind of leaned on this like shadow database pattern, which I've so elegantly put up here in three steps, which is you start with actual raw SQL files, so whatever you got, one file, many files, just whatever. And then you need some form of like a temporary Postgres instance. So a container would make sense, but you know, if you just have some local running instance too, like you can use that. And then you load it all in there and you start hitting those system catalogs, which is super queryable, and you can get back everything you have. Of course, this does mean that you have to have a running Postgres instance, but I'm kind of assuming you already do if you're doing some work with Postgres. Or at least have an easy way to access it. So there's a whole bunch of system catalogs. You may have explored some of these before. I think there's like more than 50. You know, the big ones, PG class is like the big one. Anything that's like a table or like table-esque, like has columns or anything like that. The attributes are the, you know, columns on there. I'm not gonna read this entire slide, but there's a lot of good stuff in there. And so you can start, you know, querying them. And so you have a little table here and you say, okay, what's going to be, you know, what are my columns? What are the defaults? And, you know, it takes a lot of reading the Postgres docs, but you can really start to understand some pretty rich details about what you're looking at. And what's really cool is, you know, you're not even looking at the create statement that would have created this table, but like, I'm sure you can visualize in your head, like what it would have looked like. I think everybody would have had slightly different formatting of what that create statement would look like, but the, you know, the overall vibes are still there. And so many of you probably already done stuff like this before, so I won't belabor it. But the interesting bit is when we start getting into dependencies, because order matters. You've probably seen something like this before. You go to, you know, drop a table, which, you know, we all do in production all the time, and Postgres says no because a bunch of stuff depends on it. Or you try to like drop a type because you want to, you know, do something with it, and it again says no, there's a whole bunch of dependencies on it. And so if I'm trying to generate some DDL for like migrations or schema dump or whatever, that order really, really matters. And you can't create a view that references a function that doesn't exist yet, and I can't